Welcome back to The Bottom Line on KCPW. I'm Doug Wells, and today I'm happy to share with you another Startup Spotlight interview. These are shorter interviews that focus on the earlier stages of a company's development. Today we are talking with Clancy Marshall. She is the CEO of Cleverware. And Clancy, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Doug. It's great to be here.
So Cleverware, tell us what they do.
We create educational games. We started this company because the number one problem in the United States today is declining student scores on standardized tests. The U.S. used to be ranked number one, and now we're number 23. So that's a huge problem. It makes it much more likely for kids to drop out of high school, and it makes it harder for them to get into colleges and to get good jobs. So we created Cleverware, which are educational games that have shown to improve student performance by 20%.
And is it based on the standardized tests that are going on throughout their school year, or is it focused more on like an ACT, SAT type test?
It's both, actually. Some schools use ACT or SAT. Some schools have a state test. Other schools use standardized tests like PARC or Smarter Balance. We've mapped our content to learning outcomes, so our games can actually be mapped to any test that kids are taking across the year.
Okay, and given the breadth of that statement that you just shared, are the tests, are the games that kids are playing, are they created by the teacher? You would almost think for it to be pertinent to one class's learning objective, you'd want the teacher developing that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Doug. Thank you for asking that. So my background is education technology. For the last 20 years, I've built and managed education technology companies. For these games, I have an 11-year-old son, and I looked at what he and his friends were playing when they went home from school, and they were playing games like Halo, like Minecraft, like Pokemon Go. And so I went out and I hired the top game designers to build the foundation of these games. So I hired game designer from Halo, game designer from Minecraft, and then I partnered them, to your point, I partnered them with teachers, with top learning scientists, because we want to make sure that our games work, that they achieve learning outcomes, but also they're highly engaging for kids.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of sad how much time our kids play games that really are not developing their minds. They're really just entertainment. It's fine to have 20, 30 minutes of entertainment, but when kids are spending a couple of hours playing games that aren't helping them along in other objectives. As a parent, I've got a 13-year-old daughter and 16-year-old daughter. You just hate to see that.
Exactly. And when you look at declining test scores, the in-classroom experience across the United States, it differs widely depending on where your kids are going to school. But what's interesting is that when you look at what games those kids are playing when they go home, they're all playing the same kinds of games. So really, gaming is this great equalizer. And if you can create something that's truly engaging, that kids can play online and that they can play on mobile devices, and they play it, they're engaged, you can actually use that to improve their school scores. And that's what we've done at Cleverware.
So this strikes me as a really difficult company. You have to do well on so many different fronts to succeed. And let's talk about some of those pieces. So on one hand, you've got to develop a product day one that's pretty polished, so that your customer, the school district, can say, I can see our teenage kids using this product. How did you raise the money? How did you take this from an idea to something that was polished enough that you could get schools on board?
Sure. So a lot of it, honestly, is that this is what I've spent my entire career doing, building successful education technology products. Before I launched Cleverware, I was senior vice president at Pearson, which is the world's largest education company. And I knew superintendents and curriculum coordinators and what they were looking for. And when we began building our games, I asked them if they would be involved from step one. I asked them if teachers, principals, and students would work with us to develop these games. And they did. We actually have 150 teachers who have worked with us to develop the games. They're the ones who have seen this 20% improvement. And we now have 25,000 kids across the United States who are actively working with our games. And this is how we can go into a school district and show that these games work, that they're engaging, and that they're improving student scores on standardized tests.
And does it rely on the kids wanting to spend more than the required amount of time on these games? Is this extra work? Not work. Is this an extra activity for the kids, or is it part of their core curriculum?
Yeah, I mean that's a really interesting question. It's actually both. Most schools today mandate that children have a certain amount of time in computer labs, and this can be problematic for a computer lab coordinator because they're not really sure what they want to have the kids working on when they're in the computer lab. So they can play Cleverware games in computer labs, but also they can play these games when they go home on their iPads or on their iPhones. Sometimes teachers mandate that kids need to spend an hour a week at home playing games in addition to the hour a week in computer labs, and sometimes they leave it up to the kids. But we've incorporated all kinds of fun and creative gaming elements, but I haven't, but our folks from Minecraft and Halo have, that make it really fun and engaging for kids. So, for example, they can kind of compete against each other a little bit, or they can get new pets, they can get new accessories by performing better in the game. And what we found is that they're highly motivated to keep playing. It's the same kind of thing you see with a game like Pokemon Go, where kids are just highly motivated to keep playing it so that they can get more and more accessories for their avatar within the game.
Yeah, I want to stay with this theme of how challenging this space is. And the fact you have 20,000 children on this platform is incredibly impressive to me, just because of the difficulties. As I mentioned, you know, the school systems are a unique customer. You have a lot of experience with that, so I can see how you were able to navigate that. Now, the whole game development space is very challenging in itself, just entertaining games. I mean, there's you can count on one hand the number of games that have had the success that Pokemon Go has had. And It's not a given that that's going to have any longevity to it, right? 2 years from now, they're going to have the next thing, the next iteration. In fact, it's probably going to have to be 6 months from now. And it's very challenging to come up with that series, which is why you see the sports franchise games kind of a natural winner, because they have the series automatically in place season after season. Talk to us about the game development side of it and how you were able to come up with something that was engaging for the kids, given that challenge.
Sure. So you're right. You do have to continually iterate, and you do have to make sure that you're building a game that is exactly what kids want at the right time. And that's why I assembled this team. That's why I brought in the lead designer from Halo, the lead designer from Minecraft. And we've actually architected our game structure so that we can really rapidly create new games. We can rapidly add new content. So, for example, one of the biggest concerns that teachers have in going back to school is student vocabulary and understanding of vocabulary terms. It's one of the most difficult things for kids when they're working on reading comprehension questions. So we created a game that mirrors Duolingo. Duolingo is a leading foreign language learning app game. But instead of teaching a foreign language, we're teaching English language arts. And we were able to do that because we've built a gaming infrastructure that makes it really easy for us to say, what problem are the teachers struggling with today, and how do we create a game that kids can play online and on mobile devices that addresses that? So I won't bore you with the technical details, and I'm not the right one to talk about that anyway. But we've built a gaming infrastructure that makes it really easy to create new games rapidly within 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, and I can see in your space why that's important. If you're just joining us this morning, our guest is startup entrepreneur Clancy Marshall. She is the CEO of Cleverryware. So Clancy, let's talk about your journey. You mentioned that you worked for several years with Pearson's, which is a large corporation, yeah. Very different than a startup culture. Did you always know that you wanted to be a startup entrepreneur, and how did you get comfortable with making that leap?
Sure. Thank you for asking that. I've actually done both in my career. I started a company which was acquired in 2010. It was an education technology startup acquired by Macmillan. And then I started a nonprofit foundation in 2012, which is still up and running. And then I went to a corporate job. I worked for Pearson, and then I left last June to launch Cleverryware. My goal is to improve education globally. And I've done that on both the for-profit and the nonprofit side. And I've done that in the big company corporations, and I've done it with small startups. I think that education, it's an exciting area to be in because it's really an ecosystem. Nonprofits and for-profits, government agencies, and small companies all work together to try to improve education. And my goal has been to work in every area of that ecosystem. And so this latest venture, Cleverryware, has really enabled me to do that. It's enabled me to work with my friends in the U.S. Department of Education, to work with Hewlett, Gates Foundation, and also to work with larger companies like Pearson and Macmillan and Wiley.
Great. And let's talk about your team. So you had this idea that it should be easier to learn, it should be engaging for the kids, it should be much like this game experience. As you know, you're not the first entrepreneur to have that idea. How did you know that your tangent of it was different enough and would be able to succeed before you leapt out on your own to start this company?
Well, you know, I think as an entrepreneur, you have to have a certain amount of just belief that you are going to succeed, and you have to believe that you have an idea that's different, and that's what I brought to the table.
Am I right? Have there been dozens of companies that have tried this? I mean, I don't know of many that have gotten to 20,000 students, so you're obviously onto something. But was there something different about your strategy and your process that you thought, you know what, my company will have a better chance to succeed?
Yeah, I actually think that it's two things. In education, I think it's really difficult for a startup to enter the education space and have a huge impact. But I've spent 20 years in this industry. I know how to do it. And then on the gaming side, I think it's really difficult for somebody who's an educator to build a game that can compete with something like Pokemon Go or Minecraft. And so what I've done is really take the best of the gaming world and then bring my education experience to it. So to really get traction in schools, I know what superintendents and principals need to see. I know what teachers need in order to prep them for incorporating these new products into their classrooms. Spent 20 years doing it. But I also know that I can't build a game that my 11-year-old son is going to love, but I know who can. And we were able to get the top game designers, and they did that, actually, interestingly, because their parents have been educators, and they wanted to solve this problem of how do you create a highly engaging game in the education space. So it's a great partnership of learning scientists and game designers.
Well, it's very important work. I think the education system, there's a lot of still low-hanging fruit there for us to improve and use technology better than we have in the past. And we're glad that you're doing what you're doing at Cleverryware, and we wish you all the success going forward with that.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Absolutely. It's been our pleasure. Our guest this morning has been Clancy Marshall. She is the CEO of Cleveryware. We'd also like to thank our friends at Boom Startup, a Utah-based accelerator that over several months has nourished and mentored many of the entrepreneurs we're talking to on the Startup Spotlight. Today's show was recorded at the KCPW Studios on Library Square and produced by Ross Chambliss. You can hear the entire interview on our website, kcpw.org. You can tweet me at Savvy Wells or at KCPW Bottom Line. I'm Doug Wells. Join us next week on The Bottom Line.